Midday in Manhattan, and I've arrived at the iconic Oyster Bar on the lower levels of Grand Central Station. I'm here to meet an Irish woman, Diane Stopford, who's now a New York-based food consultant. She knows an awful lot about the potential of Irish food in the US retail market.
You know, I think in the last couple of years, or even in the last 2 to 3 years, it's changed with the type of products that are coming into the U.S., and especially on the West Coast here, from just the Barry's tea and the Brennan's bread and the Kerrygold to a little bit more of a wider selection, which is great to see. The likes of Kilbeggan Oats that I know I have friends in LA who are buying online and then shipping them to their parents in India. So just because it's such a good product that they cannot get here.
In Ireland, internationally, Irish food is very much sold as green, sustainable, and all the rest. How much of that is important here?
It is just growing hugely, that sector in the US. I mean, if you look at a company like Whole Foods and you look at what their core values are, I mean, it's all about sustainability. It's all about being good to the consumer, good to the grower. It's all about authenticity and integrity, and that's what we do have with our food in Ireland.
So right now we're about a mile and a half north of the Bronx, in New York, in a semi-industrial area.
A man who's importing Irish food into America is Mullingar's Pat Coleman. After studying dairy science in UCC, he arrived in New York in 1991 in search of work. He never left. Today he runs Food Ireland, a distribution company that employs 24 people in a warehouse in the Bronx.
It's about 15,000 square feet. There's 1 acre of land here. We're actually in the process of expanding.
And it's a huge brick building. And on the top of it, in green, foodireland.com. And in here, products from all over Ireland are
correct,
waiting to be dispersed around America and Canada.
True, yeah, that's it. This is the distribution centre here where we serve basically all the states and Canada. Okay.
The green door.
So you're going to see people working around here.
Wow.
As we go, right? So you're probably going to recognize a lot of the brands straight away.
I mean, it's like being at home.
You've got beans and tato. Like, these are orders going out here. Tato, you've got the bachelor's beans, Easter eggs, Lion's tea, the Chivers jam is down there on the bottom, and the fruit field jam, you know. So these are orders going out. Like, we have a mail order department too, where individuals can buy directly off us from the internet.
And do you get any insight as to who they are?
See, it's Americans who have been exposed to the brands, are exposed to the products, whether they were exposed through holidays in Ireland or whether exposed through, like, off the boat Irish, we call them, you know.
Freezing section of your warehouse. What do we have here?
So you've all the meat, you've all the breakfast sausages, rashers, more sausages here. All those boxes with the holes in it, that's all Brennan's bread. We've got Green Isle, that's like Donegal catch there. We have cheese in the fridge, but this is the freezer part here. This is pretty cold here, so.
There's a lot of tea here.
Tea is huge. We sell so much tea, we have to try and order it in such a way that we don't jam up our warehouse with containers of Barry's tea.
So tell me about the logistics. You have a warehouse in Dublin.
We have a warehouse in Dublin, and all the manufacturers, they all send their product into that warehouse. They leave Dublin port on a feeder vessel, and they go to Liverpool and put on to a big ship that basically comes over here to New York.
How long does it take?
10 days, all going well. No storms, no snow, no strikes.
Oil prices as they are, is it increasingly expensive?
Shipping costs never go down. The food business is dependent on transportation, and oil all along the way is involved in the process. So it would be great if we didn't have to pay for shipping to get it here or to ship it out, but it's a fact of life.
It's hard to fathom the sheer scale and size of the US food industry. So what's the potential for sustainable farm-to-fork Irish foods in that market?
People in Ireland are very interested in traceability and sustainability. But mainstream America is not really tuned in yet to sustainability and to farm-to-fork ideas. There's a local supermarket here that has a meat section like 100 feet long, and then they have, at the end of the 100 feet section, they have a 5-foot section grass-fed. If it's 105 feet you're dealing with, only 5 feet is about grass-fed.
This is niche stuff.
Yeah, it's niche, it is. It's like special food, you know, like a specialty food. It comes down to price. It's still a huge market for Ireland. Even that small, tiny section of the American market who is willing to pay like $20 for a steak, it'll be more than enough for Ireland to sell into the US.
Did you ever imagine when you were growing up in Mullingar and when you were studying dairy science that you would end up doing what you're doing?
I remember when we were in college, we had a professor. He said, now he says, you're the cream of the crop. And he said, the best of ye will be creamery managers. We left the class that day thinking if we became a creamery manager, we were absolutely on the pig's back. If you told me 20 years ago I'd still be in food, I'd say okay. If you told me I was going to be in a warehouse here full of Club Orange, I'd that's the 7 train. This is Woodside or Sunnyside in Queens.
We've come to Queens to meet one of Pat's biggest buyers. 20 years ago, Noel Gaynor from Ballinrobe, described very accurately by the New York Times as a good-looking man, opened the butcher's block in Sunnyside.
Just a few miles from Manhattan, you can see that's the Empire State Building down there at the end of the road.
Straight ahead.
Heading into the butcher block to meet Noel and see what's he got on offer. Mayo man, hasn't lost his accent.
Just like you?
Yeah, just like me. And he's got a Mayo accent, I don't. This fella's famous.
This is a big store. Fruit and veg, huge big meat counter.
How you doing?
How are you?
Ella. How are you, my dear?
Nice to meet you.
Stella?
Ella.
Ella, sorry, Stella. And Pat.
Yes.
How was the story with you all?
Sure. Struggling.
When did you set up this shop?
1995, because there was a need for Irish food, Irish groceries in this neighbourhood. There was a lot of Irish people living here. We knew there was an opening for Irish products. You can see all the soups, your Éireann soups, your Jacob's cookies, or biscuits, I should say.
What would you like to be able to sell here that you can't at the moment?
Oxtail soup. Yeah, but we're not allowed to have it anymore.
Products that had beef in them.
We had Frey Bentos steak and kidney pies, them you can't carry anymore. The sweets, they have byproduct off beef in them, so you can't carry them anymore either.
What would you like Irish farmers, Irish food producers to be making that you could sell here?
I would like to see a much bigger range of butter. There would be a lot of customers, especially the older Irish people, they're all asking for butter like that's less lower in fat.
Will you ever go back to Mayo, or are you here for good?
I'm here for good, but I like to go home every year for a couple of weeks. I would spend most of my day talking to Irish people anyway, so I think we just don't change over that easy, you know.
Can you spot an Irish person a mile away when they come in?
Sure, yeah. Someone comes in just from Ireland, I can tell right away. So you see their eyes light up when they see all the potato, the bars of chocolate, the sausages, the black and white pudding. It's
relief.
Yeah, you can see it in the person's face. So you can.